Thank you, Heavenly Father, Adonai Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, for these wonderful words. We're not to be pushed around. We stand firm. We walk in the paths that you have chosen before us with authority, and we do not miss a day. And the day that we miss is bygone, but today we can go ahead and sow seeds and serve you. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Okay, we're going to... This fellowship is going to be on unlikely saviors guided by Yahweh. And those are Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Cambyses, Cyrus, and Darius Hystaspes.
Hystaspes?
Something to that effect. That's good. And we don't realize many times in our particular world now, Donald Trump was an unlikely savior for the United States and for the world. Yeah. And maybe we'll see if Elon Musk might be in the same capacity and other people out there, people who are not devoted Christians, but they are foundational people. And let's just learn from these people and also learn the synchronization of all, how this all occurred and why it did occur also. So we're going to begin with Pharaoh, a short little note, Genesis chapter 41. So we all know about Pharaoh and Yosef. But a great, great impact was that. Transferred the sons of Abraham and Sarah from 75 souls to probably 1.5 million is because of that. 41 verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, after he interpreted the dream, can we find such a one, a man in whom is the Ruach of Elohim? So Pharaoh said, and Pharaoh means the big house. That's what the word means. So we see a lot of him. These are not names. They're titles, yeah. And so you can have many people with the same title, and that gets a little confusing.
He's not Pharaoh.
Yeah. But the big house. So Pharaoh said unto Yosef, after Elohim hath made known unto thee this, there is no one discreet and wise like thee. Thou shalt be over my house, and on thy mouth shall all my people kiss, only as to the throne will I be greater than thou. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Now this is, think, Yahweh has some stirring in the heart of this man.
Yeah.
And Pharaoh said unto Yosef, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. I mean, you're like, wow, that is just phenomenal. And he lived to be, he's 30. He lived to be 110. So you're about 80 years of making Pharaoh really wealthy. Yahweh made Pharaoh really wealthy. And also Israel got the land of Goshen. Now, that's not going to be really our subject, but here's an illustration. We're really going to get into four, and that's Nebuchadnezzar, Cambyses, Cyrus, and the only people who, well, let's just say here, Cambyses' name is never going to be in here. Darius Hystaspes. How do you say that? Hystaspes is after Cyrus, and so Cyrus is in there. Nebuchadnezzar is in there, but we're going to find out what was the reason why these people had to intervene, and it's because of the fall of Israel. So we notice their disobedience. 2 Kings 17. And same in our time. As well, we have to go through such hardships because of people abandoning Yahweh's commandment. 17:7-18. So somebody would like to read 7-18?
Sure.
And this is the fall of Israel. Remember, there was two sections. The 10 tribes or Israel were in the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. We're talking about the 10 tribes right now. So go ahead and read that.
And thus it came to pass that Israel sinned against Yahweh their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yet they did reverence to other Elohims and walked in the statues of the nation whom Yahweh had dispossessed from before the sons of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the sons of Israel did secretly things that which were not right against Yahweh their Elohim, and built for themselves high places in all their cities, from the watchman's tower to the fortified city. And they set up for themselves pillars and sacred stems upon every high hill and under every green tree, and burned incense there in all the high places, like the nations whom Yahweh drave out from before them, and did things that were wicked so as to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served in the manufactured Elohims, as to which Yahweh had said to them, "Ye shall not do this thing." And Yahweh testified against Israel and against Judah through all his prophets, every one who had a vision, saying, "Turn ye from your wicked ways, and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent unto you through my servants, the prophets. Howbeit they hearkened not, but stiffened their neck like the neck of their fathers, who trusted not in Yahweh their Elohim, but rejected his statutes and his covenant, and which he solemnized with their fathers, and his testimonies wherewith he testified against them, and followed vanity and became vain, followed the nations that were round about them, as to whom Yahweh charged them, so that they should not do like them. But they forsook all the commandments of Yahweh their Elohim, and made for themselves something molten two calves, and made a sacred stem, and bowed themselves down to all the armies of heaven, and served the Baals, and made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire, and used divinations and enchantments, and sold themselves to do the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, provoking him to wrath. So Yahweh showed himself exceedingly angry with Israel, and removed them from his presence. There was none left save the tribe of Judah alone.
That tells you a lot. And this is 150 years before Judah falls. And so the king of Assyria takes them all away.
Takes who all the way where?
The 10 tribes. So when they're gone, the Assyrian kingdom has taken all the people of the 10 tribes, and they put them in different lands and moved those people from those other lands into Samaria. And this is why they're called Samaritans. They thought they were like half Jews because they weren't Jews in the first place. So that's, and so they took them away from their gods, and that was it. And then transport other people back in there. So that is Israel of rebelling against Yahweh. And remember, the prophets are always sent. So remember, when you get a word and somebody tells you according to the word, you better stop that. Stop that. Repent. Turn directions. You better heed, or otherwise you also can be certainly sold into slavery. And like that, we don't like to be reproved, but you better take it, because what is it? A wise man loveth reproof. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hates thee. A wise man becomes wiser. Now we go to Jeremiah 25, and we'll see Judah's fall 150 years later. They didn't learn enough from their sister Israel.
You said 25?
Yes. Jeremiah 25, verse 8 through 12. So a summation. So Jeremiah is in Jerusalem by being surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar at this particular time, telling people to turn. 25, verse 8. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold me sending and fetching all the families of the north, declareth Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my what?
Servant.
Well, he's an unlikely servant. And we know that Pharaoh was an unlikely servant, so maybe I should have called this unlikely servants guided by Yahweh, the servants doing what Yahweh is telling them to do. And I will bring, it's interesting that the unbeliever is more righteous than the people in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And clean the house.
That's how bad you got.
Yeah, that's bad times. And I will bring them in against his land, against its inhabitants, against all these nations round about, and I will devote them to destruction and make them an astonishment and a hissing and an age-abiding desolation. And I will banish from among them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, the light of the lamp. Consequences of walking in rebellion. The sound of the and 11. So all this land became a desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. How many years?
70 years.
And so this is very important to take a look at that. Now we go to 2 Chronicles 36.
2 Chronicles 36?
Yeah, which is really the end of the Old Covenant, not Malachi. 36, and this kind of sums up the fall for these other servants to come in and help Yahweh correct the situation. 11 through 23, and let me see here. Yeah, who would want to read 11 through 23, 11 to the end of the chapter?
Now, if you start, I'll pick up and get it.
All right.
Pour it out.
21 years old was Zedekiah when he began to reign, and 11 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh his Elohim. He humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet from the mouth of Yahweh. Moreover, also against King Nebuchadnezzar he rebelled, who had made him swear by Elohim, and he stiffened his neck and emboldened his heart from turning unto Yahweh, God of Israel. Also all the rulers of the priests and of the people abounded in committing treachery according to all the abominable ways of the nations, and polluted the house of Yahweh, which he had hallowed unto Jerusalem. And through Yahweh, God of their fathers, sent unto them through his messengers, zealously sending them, because he had compassion upon his people and upon his habitation. Yet became they mockers of the messengers of Yahweh, and despisers of his words, and mimics of his prophets, until the mounting up of the wrath of Yahweh against his people, until there was no healing. So he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or virgin or elder or ancient. All delivered he into his hand, and all utensils of the house of Yahweh, both great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king and of his rulers, and the whole carried to he to Babylon. And they burned the house of Elohim, and threw down the wall of Jerusalem, and all the places thereof burned they with fire, and all the precious vessels thereof he destroyed, and he exiled the remnant left of the sword unto Babylon, where they became his and his sons and his servants until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah unto the land had paid off her Sabbaths.
Now, that's very important. Let's see, and that's why we have the 70 years, paid off her Sabbaths. So remember, every 6 years, you're supposed to let the land go fallow for a whole year. So the land's paying off their Sabbaths. That's why you watch, keep reading.
To fulfill 70 years.
All the days of her lying desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. All things. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, now we've just skipped Cambyses. We've got Nebuchadnezzar. We know Nebuchadnezzar. Where is Cyrus's father? He's not mentioned in this narrative. We go right to Cyrus. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to accomplish the word of Elohim by the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh aroused the Ruach of Cyprus, king of Persia, so that he made him proclamation throughout all his kingdom, over also in the writing, saying. And I'm going to tell you, I think we're going to find out that Cyrus, to the best of our ability, is the child of Cambyses and Esther, which means that he is a Hebrew. His uncle is Mordecai. So Cyrus would have been a Hebrew. He's not a Gentile. Because he calls Yahweh, Yahweh. Nebuchadnezzar never says Yahweh. And Yahweh anointed him, a Mashiach. So Cyrus is a Mashiach. And that's in Isaiah. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath who? Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, given unto me, and he himself hath laid charge upon me to build to him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people with whom is Yahweh is Elohim? Then let him go up. There's a servant. I should have called this a servant. Another person who was not part of the Abrahamic kingdom to come in and deliver the people of Israel. Now, we're going to this transformation from taking people from Jerusalem and putting them into Babylon and Persia is. We're talking about three people, Nebuchadnezzar, Cambyses, Cyrus, and Darius Hystapes. So we're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar. The book of Daniel has three of these characters in it. So let's go to Daniel, chapter 2. Chapter 2, let's see here, 48 and 49. And guess what? Nebuchadnezzar puts him in charge. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and unto Daniel pay adoration, and a present and sweet odors gave he word to pour out unto him. The king answered in Daniel and said, of a truth, your Elohim is the Elohim of Elohims, and Lord of lords, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou was able to reveal this secret. Then the king exalted Daniel, and you think Zedekiah the king would have exalted Daniel? No, he would have. So just remember, many times the Holy Land is the evil land, and Jerusalem was evil when Christ was alive. And that's why they murdered him, by the holy people. Then the king exalted Daniel, and many large presents gave he unto him, and set him to be ruler over all the province of Babylon, and chief of the nobles over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel desired of the king, and he appointed over that business of the province of Babylon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel himself was in the gate of the king. So, he was one of the first captives that Daniel took away. Nebuchadnezzar took away. So remember, when Nebuchadnezzar goes back to Zedekiah, Daniel is controlling the kingdom of Babylon.
When he goes what?
Well, Nebuchadnezzar goes back to Jerusalem multiple times. He hits him once, and he's got to go there, and takes away the king and sets up another king.
And the prince.
The guy was there for 3 months, he ejected him. And he put Jehoiakim in there, which is a really bad guy. He went for 11 years. Daniel was probably the first ones to be taken out when he went there originally. So who is giving counsel to the king? Possibly is Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach against Jerusalem.
Wow.
Why Nebuchadnezzar is there to overthrow it, because they're rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar. And that comes with Zedekiah, the last king who ruled for 11 years, until finally it's all taken away. But remember, Daniel was running the Chaldean Empire with his friends while this is happening. So Jerusalem is the enemy, not Babylon.
Yeah.
And Yahweh keeps telling Jerusalem to give up. Go to Babylon.
It's like telling the seminary to surrender.
Yes. And so now that's...
It's funny because they go anywhere but. They go to Egypt. They go to all those other places. They won't go where Yahweh told them to go.
But it's because of your wickedness. It's just really... And now we're going to go on to Cambyses. So we got Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. We're going to Cambyses. He's going to be called Darius the Mede. And so if you look at your page, okay, but right in the middle, you've got the titles of Cambyses. Look off to the right, you're going to see Cambyses, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's on the Cyrus cylinder. Go to the middle, here's all his names according to this word. Ahasuerus in Esther 1:1, Artaxerxes in Ezra 6:14, Nehemiah 2:1, Darius the Median in Daniel 5:31. So he has all these titles. It's the same
Darius, the Mede was the same person?
No, look at the bottom now. There's another Darius. This guy's going to end the story. Darius Hystapus, all right, will end the story. He comes a lot later. Let me give you the titles first. Ahasuerus means the mighty. It's just a title, and has four monarchs who took it. You know, Herod was the same situation. Caesar was the same situation. Artaxerxes means great king. Darius means the restrainer or king or ruler.
On the what?
King or ruler, the restrainer. So these are all titles. But we've got to understand, this is the same person. So you see in Daniel 5, and this is all in E.W. Boyd's Companion Bible, Appendix 57 and 58. So as you get on our website, download, no charge. Now we go to Daniel 5, and this will make sense. Okay, 5:30. Remember Belshazzar, the writing on the wall, Daniel interprets it, Belshazzar dies, and that's the end of the Chaldean Empire. Because the Persians take over. That's
where we Nebuchadnezzar, right? Belshazzar, and now here comes.
Yeah, there was somebody before Belshazzar, but remember, he said, Daniel, I'll give you a third of the kingdom. These are all Chaldeans. Persia, remember Babylon, is above Persia. So Persia comes up, Cambyses comes up and takes it. 5:30. And that night was slain Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, and guess what? And Darius the Mede received the kingdom about 62 years of age. Okay. So now Babylon has become part of the Persian Empire. So that's in Daniel. Now we're going to see Cyrus, who is the son of Cambyses, or Darius the Mede, is in chapter 6:28. And he's the one who says, when he gets in charge, I'm going to build the temple. And this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. Got that?
Cambyses.
That's Cambyses. And in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Okay, there's two. So there's three, Nebuchadnezzar, Cambyses, Cyrus, and the book of Daniel. And it kind of ends up with 10:1, chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a matter was revealed unto Daniel. So there's a time clock. So Daniel lived through these different reigns. Now we're going to get into the three main characters, which is Cambyses, Cyrus, and Darius Hystapus.
Where's the next one?
Okay. So remember, Cambyses is called Ahasuerus, we're going to see. He's called Artaxerxes, we're going to see. And then Darius the Mede, we've already seen that in Daniel. Now let's go with beginning of the scripture according to Cambyses, which is the book of Esther, Esther 1:1. Because he's going to marry Esther. So this is the beginning, so the book have no the order have no relationship to the story. Sad to say. And that's what confuses people.
Well, would you repeat what you just said?
It's not
the arrangement of the books.
Oh, right.
The arrangement of the books were set up by this Septuagint, which rearranged everything. There were 24 books, and they made 36 books. And they made Malachi the end when it's supposed to be Second Chronicles the end. Made a mess.
Okay, what page are you on?
1-1. Esther, 1-1.
493.
Cambyses. And it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, the same Ahasuerus that reigned from India even unto Ethiopia. That's good, India. And then Ethiopia is Africa. 127 provinces. It's called Ahasuerus. Remember, Vashti doesn't come. He divorces Vashti and marries who? Esther.
Hadassah.
Hadassah. And that is in, let me see here. Okay. And 217. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and has said before him above all the virgins, so he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Think Yahweh had something to do with this?
Yeah.
So Yahweh now is going in. He did that with the Babylonian king, with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now he's in the Persian kingdom before what Nebuchadnezzar, so this is before he takes over Babylon. And now he's introducing Yahweh's word into the Persian kingdom, which is Esther, Hadassah, and Mordecai, her uncle. Now we go to 10:3 of Esther, the end of the book. So Yahweh's instrumental in Cambyses, and this book is called Ahasuerus. So 10:3, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus. Look at that, just like Daniel was next to Nebuchadnezzar.
And Joseph.
Joseph with Pharaoh. So this is the unlikely saviors was sent unto, was next to King Ahasuerus and became great among the Jews and accepted by the multitude of his brethren. Seeking happiness for a people and speaking peace to all his seed. So when this guy took over Babylon, his basically father-in-law is who? Mordecai. He's not the father of Hadassah, but he's the uncle, but he's like his father.
Yeah, I guess he's like
his wife is Esther, and now he's going to meet Daniel. He's a great Hebrew. I've got great Hebrews. My kingdom's being run by Hebrews.
Yeah.
So guess what? Daniel is put into a high position to run the kingdom also when Cambyses gets there. Great. Now Yahweh's facilitating all this. Okay, and now we go, let's see, where am I here? Okay, so that's Ahasuerus. Cambyses. Here's the same person in Nehemiah. Same person. Nehemiah is before Esther. Nehemiah 2. So this is after Cambyses marries Esther and is running the kingdom. And who also is his wine bearer for Cambyses?
Nehemiah.
It's the Nehemiah. So now I've got Nehemiah. I've got Daniel. I've got Mordecai and Esther, all as part of my entourage. And now he's married, and he's going to be called Artaxerxes here. So 2 verse 1 through 8. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king, and I had never been sad before him. Then said the king unto me, wherefore is our countenance, or face, sad? Whenever you see countenance, it's face. Seeing that thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sadness of heart. Then feared I exceedingly, and said unto the king, let the king unto time's age your abiding live. And that's what I want my wife to say to me each time. How am I? Oh, live forever, King Chuck. You don't have to say king. Say live
really
forever.
Appreciate it, though.
I would appreciate it. It sounds like a good ring.
Will you offer up to half the kingdom?
Yeah, it's already there. Like a king unto times, age of I live. Wherefore should any my countenance not be sad when the city, the place of the scepters of my father, lied waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Well, who did that?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar burned up the city. And the king said unto him, concerning what is this thou wouldest make request? So I prayed unto the Elohim of the heavens, and then said unto the king, if unto the king it seemeth good, and if the servant find favor before thee, that thou mayest send me unto Judah, unto the city of the sepulchre of my fathers, that I might build it. God, what a task. And the king said unto me, the queen also, Esther, sitting next to him, and how long would be thy journey, and when wouldst thou return? So it seemed good before the king to send me, and I set him a time. Then said I unto the king, if unto the king seemeth good, may letters be given me unto the pastures beyond the river, that they may convey me over until I come into Judah. Also a letter unto Asaph, keeper of the park, that belongs to the king, that he may give me timber to build up the gates of the fortress, which pertain to the house, and for the walls of the city, for the house whereunto I shall enter. And the king gave him according to the good hand of my Elohim upon me. Another servant of Yahweh, Cambyses, with Esther at his side. Now we go to...
That Cambyses was the son, no, Cyrus's son.
So just remember, it's really just Cambyses, Cyrus, and then who finishes this off is Darius, you know, Hystasis. And then we know it, the same person is goes to Babylon and takes it. You know, we saw that in Daniel 5. That's Cambyses. Now, Cyrus is taking over. We know Cyrus is in, we saw in Daniel 6:28. Nehemiah is building the city, rebuilding the city, but the temple is not being rebuilt. And like, this is a good chart on comparing Ezra with Nehemiah. So it says, the book of Ezra covered 23 years of building the temple. The book of Jeremiah covered 52 years of building the walls of Jerusalem.
You said Jeremiah, you meant Ezra?
Nehemiah.
Okay.
So Ezra's 23 years, Nehemiah 52 years. And so Ezra fits inside of Nehemiah. You got to start filling the walls first on the building before I can start building the temple. I got to be able to keep out the riprap before I can start building the temple. And they've got Ezra before Nehemiah, which is not the case.
Yeah, that just
makes sense. Okay. Oh, and there's Cyrus. We know that he's in Daniel 6:28. We're going to look at.
Look at what?
Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Back to 2 Chronicles. And then we're going to see Ezra. 2 Chronicles 36. Which we read before. Jerusalem has fallen. Cyrus says, Yahweh has told me to build the temple. He takes over. So that's in... 2 Chronicles 36, 22 to 23, which we've already read. Now we're just going to go to Ezra 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh from the mouth of Jeremiah. See, this 70 years, so Jeremiah is so instrumental. Yahweh aroused the Ruach of Cyrus. Cyrus is his servant, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom, moreover also in writing. Very, very important. That one word, in writing. Just remember, in writing, because somebody's going to contest after Cyrus dies that they're not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
And there's a big battle, and it stops the building of the temple. And then they say, go look at the writings. And where was Cyrus? He was in Babylon. So they went to the Babylon archives, which we're going to see, and they found the writings from Cyrus. and had transferred Darius Hystaspes to turn 180 degrees. So very important. Two, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth have Yahweh Elohim of the heavens given to me. And you remember, with anybody else, Nebuchadnezzar never says Yahweh. Pharaoh never says Yahweh. I don't think Darius, I don't have to check on him, says Yahweh. Now, Cambyses doesn't say Yahweh. Kingdom of the heaven is given to me, and he himself has laid charge upon me to build for him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. He is Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. Isn't that great? And whosoever is left of all the places where he does sojourn, and this is freeing all the people too. And you find out that this is not much of a slavery situation because of them being in Persia, because guys are committing gold and silver to fund this thing. A slave doesn't have gold and silver.
Yeah.
So they were taken slave, but they were given their freedom, especially with Mordecai.
Yeah.
You know, people became Jews, and it really turned the whole thing. Let the men of this place uphold him with silver and with gold and with the goods and with beasts, along with the voluntary offering for the house of Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. And so it shows you all the stuff that they gave. So these are not slaves. Let's see here. Okay, got that. Now we're going to the last character. Cyrus didn't last very long. We don't know how long it lasts, but not very long. Obviously, maybe killed in a battle. He was dead before the temple was completed.
And how many years did it take to rebuild the temple?
What did I say? 23.
Okay.
Yeah, 23 years.
Okay.
So now another character is coming on the scene. And his name is Darius Hystaspes. And we go to Ezra 4. He comes into this book. So Ezra begins with Cyrus. Doesn't have Cambyses in here. Begins with Cyrus. And now we go to Darius Hystaspes, which is not the Darius the Mede. And Bollinger says Darius Hystaspes is, he is of Hystaspes, which is the king before him.
And so,
if you look at your paper, and right above Darius Hystaspes is Hystaspes. So he believes that it's Darius of Hystaspes to distinguish him from Darius the Mede. You see that right in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so now he's coming in the picture. Ezra 4, 1 and 2. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the sons of the exile were building the temple unto Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, then drew they near unto Zerubbabel and unto the ancestral chiefs and said unto them, let us build with you. I'm not going to keep reading that. They're trying to sabotage it, which they end up doing. And we're going to see in 11 through 12. And this is the copy of the letter which they sent unto him, unto Artaxerxes. Now this is not Cambyses. This is not Cyrus. This is Darius Hystaspes.
Why do they call him Artaxerxes?
Like I said, everybody's called Artaxerxes.
Okay.
You've got to remember, no different than Pharaoh. Everybody's called, can be okay. Darius, they can be Artaxerxes, Ahasuerus. Yeah, and he's going to go back and forth with his name all the way through this book. It's the same person. Unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servant, the man beyond the river, and so forth, be it known unto the king that the Jews who came up from thee unto us are coming to Jerusalem, the rebellious and wicked city. Are they building, and the walls have they finished, and the foundations will they repair? And so they're saying, we got a real problem, king. These guys are going to take your taxes. That's when they rebel. Let's go to 17 now. And the king sent a messenger unto Rehum, holder of judicial authority, Shimshai, the scribe and the rest of their associates who were dwelling in Samaria, and the rest beyond the river, peace and so forth. The letter which you sent unto me was distinctly read before me, and from me went forth the edict, and they have made search and found that this city, since the days of age past times, against kings has lifted herself up, and seditious and rebellion. And so he says, stop them. Fix it. Just stop the construction of the temple. Which they do. He doesn't know any better. Just remember, he's not Cambyses, he's not Cyrus. He doesn't know Cyrus even issued this. He's Darius Hypostatius. Let's go into chapter 5 now. We kind of need to do this. If somebody can start reading, we're going to go from 5:17 to chapter 6:15.
Now therefore, if unto the king it seemeth good, let search be made in the treasure house of the king which is there.
Oh, let me explain. This is probably Zerubbabel or people in Jerusalem saying, go look at the records.
And they're going to go try to find the records with Cyrus and Ezra 1?
Yeah.
In writing?
Yeah. In writing. Go ahead.
Let search be made in the treasure house of the king which is there in Babylon, whether it be so that from Cyrus the king issued an edict to build the house of Elohim in Jerusalem, and the pleasure of the king concerning this, let him send unto us. Then Darius the king issued...
And that is Artaxerxes, which is also Darius the Hypostasis. So you can see now he's called Darius, same guy, he's just called Artaxerxes a minute ago, right? Okay.
Issued an edict, and they made search in the house of the books where the treasures were laid up in Babylon, and there was found in Achmetha, in the fortress which is in the province of Media, a roll, and thus was written therein as record. In the first year of Cyrus the king issued an edict as the house of the God or Elohim in Jerusalem. Let the house be built, the place where they used to offer sacrifice, let the foundations thereof be reared, the height thereof 60 cubits, the breadth therefore 60 cubits, layers of large stones 3, and one layer of new timber. And as for the expenses out of the house of the king, let them be made. Moreover also, the utensils of the house of Elohim of gold and silver.
We'll go ahead and skip. Why don't we go right to verse 8?
And from me is issued an edict as to that which ye shall do with these elders of Judah for the building of this house of Elohim, that the resources of the king, even the tribute beyond the river, for with the expenses be given to these men, for they must not be hindered.
Now the king's going to finance it. So Darius is financing it. That's right.
And whatever may be the need, whether young bullocks or rams or lambs for ascending sacrifice unto Elohim of the heavens, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, according to the command of the priests who are in Jerusalem, that it be given to them day by day without fail, that they may be offering sweet-smelling sacrifices unto the Elohim of the heavens, and be praying for the life of the king and his sons. Keep going.
Let me see here. Go to 15. Yeah, finish off.
Verse 11. From me is issued an edict that any man who shall alter this message, let timber be torn out of his house and being lifted up, let him be fastened there at his house at dunghill he made for this. And the Elohim who hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy any king or people who shall put forth their hand to alter to destroy the house of Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have issued an edict, forthwith let it be done. Then Tattenai, the posh beyond the river, Shalthabosni and their associates, according as Darius the king had said, so forth they went. And the elders of Uz went on building and prospering throughout, prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zariah son of Iddo. They both built and finished, owing to the edict of the Elohim of Israel, and owing to the edict of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes.
And we're going to stop right here. So here's the three kings. Now, the Bolivar says they got them in reverse orders. And so Artaxerxes is Darius the Hypostasis.
Okay.
Not Hypostasis. Hypostasis. That's Darius Hypostasis. Darius is Cambyses, or Darius the Mede. And then you got Cyrus.
His son.
So what you've got, yeah, his son. So the order is out of order. But that's kings of Persia. So those are the three kings who are involved in this.
Why do they call one Mede? Like he was from Median.
Because Persia is called the Persians and the Medes.
Okay,
the Medes
okay,
were the mountain people.
Yeah,
Persia,
right.
Persia. But there's the three kings, and the house was finished by the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And as you can see right back here, you got Artaxerxes referring to Darius, and then he's called Darius again, so it's the same person. So the other Darius is Cambyses. See here. Then we have a summation, which is chapter 7. I don't think we have time. It's really beautiful. I'm going to read the first sentence. You need to come back and just read Ezra 7. And this is what Yahweh's doing with a Persian king to honor Yahweh, the creator of the universe. After these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes of Persia, which is Darius, the high Stasis, Ezra, son of, and all the different sons go down to six. This Ezra came up out of Babylon, he being a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which Yahweh Elohim of Israel had given. And the king gave him, according to the hand of Yahweh's Elohim, upon him all his requests.
Wow.
Isn't that great? You know, the kings of Zedekiah, Jehoiakim.
We kill him.
Yeah, we kill Hosea, all the ten, you know, Israeli kings. To kill him. And it tells you all the sins that they gave. And let's go to 12. Artaxerxes, kings of kings, unto Ezra the priest, scribe of the law of the Elohim of the heavens, to dispatch and so forth. From me is issued an edict that everyone in my kingdom of the people of Israel and this present, their priests and the Levites, who in mind of his own free will to go to Jerusalem with thee, let him go.
Yeah,
so free
slaves,
all the people
yeah.
to go. And it tells you all the stuff that they take. And at the end, in verse 27, let's finish with 26 and 27. But whosoever shall not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, speedily let penalty be exacted from him, whether to death or to banishment or to confiscation of the goods or to imprisonment. So Darius is one with Ezra and the Hebrews. Because he's honoring who?
Yahweh.
Cyrus.
Yeah, because he didn't do it. He didn't know it. He doesn't know this because maybe they're, a lot of them are gone out of the kingdom. But all he knows is that he really honored Cyrus, and when he saw Cyrus say this, I'm honoring Cyrus.
Yeah.
And the heck with you, rest of you rebels. 27, blessed be Yahweh, Elohim of our fathers, who hath put the like of this into the heart of the king, to beautify the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem, and unto me hath extended a said before the king and his counselors, yea, all the valiant captains of the king. I therefore have emboldened myself according to the hand of Yahweh, my Elohim upon me, and gathered out of Israel chief men to go up with me.
Yahweh, my Elohim.
Yeah. So
that's the answer right there.
So those are the people: Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Cambyses, Cyrus, Darius, the high Stasis.
There wasn't Ezra writing. That's the king writing.
But that was Ezra at the end.
Oh, is it Ezra at the end?
Because he talks about thanking the king.
Okay.
So we got to remember, in our life too, Yahweh can raise up people. And we expect that when our people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. As we can see with the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, they don't speak against the Democrat Party, which is evil. No different than the people of Jerusalem, I mean, in the Israel and Judah. You know, government has become their god, and money many times has become their god. And so what we know is, you know, the summation of everything is 2 Timothy 4:3-4. There will be a season when the helpful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will they heap unto them teachers, because they have itching ears. And turn from the truth, they will turn their ears unto stories. So the congregations that go today are generally the teachers that they've elected because they tell them what they want to hear. So the big congregations.
So you'd say Elon Musk would be more righteous than the Democrat Christians.
Yeah, as you know, not before, but after. Yeah, after, because he was voting Democrat.
Well, he could be a Christian too right now.
But
now he was. He said he was a Democrat, so you got a real problem. But now he's not. So Yahweh's stirring things and stirring things. So let's just keep interceding on that, and we'll end there. So we'll hear from our Heavenly Father with the word of prophecy. I will do. Father, we thank you for these words. Be bold. You are my sons and daughters in whom I have anointed with great power and great ability. Don't ever underestimate what's in you, but you must act to release it. If you do not act, it's dormant, as an app on your phone is dormant until you use it. So walk forth expectantly, knowing that as you minister and get into the game, things will change and you'll see the supernatural before your eyes. Amen. See you next week.
Amen. That was really cool.